It's time now for our chat room. This week, we're going to check in on Philadelphia, where a devastating increase in homicides is taking place. By the end of April, more than 127 had been recorded in the city of brotherly love. In much larger cities, including New York, murder rates are dropping. So why does Philadelphia defy that trend? What can be done to stop the violence? With a mayoral election coming up, the subject has become the key focus of city politicians and residents. Joining us now are two Philadelphians who have spent a lot of time on the streets seeking answers. They are Jerry Ratcliffe. He teaches criminology at Temple University. He's a former police officer on the streets of London. He now specializes in the geography of crime. He joins us from a studio in Philadelphia. Welcome, Professor Ratcliffe.
Hi, Michelle. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. And with him is Simone Weitzelbaum. She's a crime reporter at the Philadelphia Daily News. She also co-writes a blog called Philadelphia Confidential. Simone, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Professor Ratcliffe, let's start with the basics. Why is this happening now, happening there now?
Well, we'd like to think there are a number of reasons. We could blame the mild winter. It's been bad for skiing in the Poconos. It's certainly been worse for violence. But, of course, that's up and down the whole East Coast. I think there are a number of things that have built up over a number of years. Certainly, easy access to guns is a real problem in Philadelphia. The street drug trade has been a factor in driving some of the violence in the city. But if you had to pick one reason, I think the biggest reason is that I think it's been a real increase in disrespect as a cause of death for, unfortunately, predominantly young black men in Philadelphia.
Simone, does that sound right to you?
Yes, right on the ball. Actually, what we're seeing here is more young people being killed. We mentioned young, maybe 16, 17, but it's not uncommon now for us to cover a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old being shot. And in fact, the rise is so much on the increase. Even when a 12 or 13-year-old shot, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, it would hit the front page of the Daily News, but now sometimes it makes even page 4 because it's really not news.
Some people are using the term genocide to talk about this situation. Does that sound right to either of you?
Well, actually, my editor and I, we debated over the use of the word, and for the definition, meaning one group more or less annihilating another against the first group's will, obviously I don't think it fits here, because I do believe there's a mass killing going on within the black community, but I don't think one person in the black community is, like, deciding to kill the other group, more or less.
So it's not a conspiracy. There's no group that's deciding this.
No, I just think there's a lot of apathy going on. And for me, as a minority, I can't believe this is really happening and one person can take out another gun and just shoot someone who looks like them or shares a neighborhood. But these kids aren't seeing it, oh, I'm going to kill my young black friend. They're seeing it, I'm going to kill the kid who stepped on my sneakers or who took my girlfriend. They're not seeing this as a race-based crime. They're more seeing this as, you know, like the professor said, you're disrespecting me.
But why now and why in such numbers? I mean, you've got, you know, hot-headed teenagers all over the country, many of whom have access to guns, but it's not necessarily resulting in these kinds of this spate of murders. Is it something like a virus that somehow takes hold and becomes normal, Professor Ratcliffe?
Michelle, we're seeing some of these growths are in certain neighborhoods in the city. And I think what you're seeing there is not something that's happened suddenly. I think we're just seeing a gradual deterioration. And I think a lot of people are making, especially young people, as Simone says, are making the decision that the benefits or the rewards of carrying a gun or engaging in gun violence actually outweigh the risks and the effort required. Protecting your reputation when you're in the poorest strata of society and your whole life is it takes place just within a few blocks. You know, carrying a gun is very important, and carrying a gun endows status on people. And what we're seeing is a change in how much lawlessness, to some degree, is now being tolerated in neighborhoods. This has been going for many years. I mean, some of the we have maps of crime in our department that go back to the 1940s, and the high crime areas of North Philly and West Philly were high crime areas back in the 40s. But things have just continued to deteriorate over the intervening period. It says a lot, I think, to the claustrophobic nature of life in many of the neighborhoods.
Simone, you have talked a lot in your column about the Stop Snitching street code. And there's, I have to say this is one of these issues which is kind of hotly debated in various communities, whether this code exists or doesn't exist. Do you think that does exist? First of all, what is the code? Is there a Stop Snitching code? And do you think that is playing a role in driving up the murder rate?
I don't think it's the sole reason, but I first want to say, yes, there is a Stop Snitching crisis. I, as a reporter, am now called a snitch bitch when I'm out on the street. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, people would welcome me into their homes or onto their street, but now the teenagers and even the 30 and 40-year-olds are like, I'm not a snitch. I'm not going to speak with you. We also see the T-shirts here, like in New York and Baltimore, with the Stop Snitching stop sign. You hear it in the rap songs. We heard the whole Cameron fiasco going on with CNN in the Anderson Cooper interview, saying that he wouldn't snitch, so to speak, if a serial killer lived next door to him, and that got him a lot of flack, and he later apologized for that statement. But I think, in my opinion, as a 25-year-old, it's coming from the rap songs. It's coming from these, like, illegal DVDs that they have now with B-rappers saying, don't talk to the police or we'll, shoot you. One thing we hear in Philadelphia is snitches get stitches and then dig ditches. So there's all these cute things that are easy for a 12- or 13-year-old to hear and pick up on. And there's a major distrust, not just with the police, not just with the media, but with all city agencies. When I go to these neighborhoods, a lot of parents don't send their kids to school. The kid doesn't want to go. Well, that's just their problem. A lot of these parents haven't graduated from high school. And if you look at the murder statistics I wanted to share with you, it's just, to me, it's just horrible. Like, I don't understand why the nation isn't waking up and seeing what's going on in Philadelphia. We are one of the first cities here in America, the birthplace of modern America, so to speak. 75% of all people shot last year were black men. 72% of all murders were black men. 40% of all murders were black men under 25. That's just unbelievable to me. I can't believe this is going on in 2007, and there's no
national outcry. In a way, it sounds like you feel alone in this. So,
yes, very much. I'm very happy you guys are even doing this show, because I feel, besides the local media, and I think the New York Times did a short story a few Sundays ago, no one's really picking up on it.
Okay, we're down to just our last minute. So, Professor Ratcliffe, I wanted to ask you as briefly as I can, and I know this is a complex problem, and I apologize. Are there any realistic solutions that city leaders could implement to help this?
This is a very difficult one to struggle with, and because what you're dealing with as a moment is just all taking place in the neighborhoods. I mean, half the people who are shot in Philadelphia are shot within 800 feet of their home address. That's two blocks. And most of the disputes are about stuff that it's very difficult for police to have any impact on. I mean, I just heard a couple of days ago about a couple of guys who had a dispute about a parking spot outside their apartment. And before you know it, these two clowns pull out 9mm and start blazing away at each other. Now, fortunately, they were both lousy shots, and when they ran out of ammunition, retreated to their apartments, and incredibly both called the police and gave a description of the other guy that shot them. So, you know, it's hard to arrest the smart ones, but the easy ones kind of give themselves away. But beyond that, that's for police and for local agencies. That's very difficult to counter.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. That was Jerry Ratcliffe, associate professor with the Department of Criminal Justice at Temple University. With him was Simone Weichelbaum, a reporter at the Philadelphia Daily News. Thank you both so much for joining us.